scripture reading this morning is Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
You may be seated. Sharon, you want to come up? She's got on the rock star headset.
but I'm not going to sing.
Okay. And I won't either.
I got to use this.
I'll pray for Sharon. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sharon, and we pray for your blessings upon her. We thank you for her spirit-moved testimony. And pray, Lord, that your spirit will speak mightily through her on how you have just touched her life and made your presence felt within her. So bless her, Father, we pray in your precious name. Amen.
Good morning. So the first time I went to a church was I was probably about 5 years old. And I don't remember too much about it because, you know, I was just young, but I do remember comparing it to what the churches I've been to now. It was a very solemn occasion. And it was, I just never felt like people were friendly there. The minister came and visited my parents several times, and he seemed to be very nice. But eventually we left the church and we never really went back. So when I started school, I went to release time at a church that was really close to the school, and then in the summer we went to vacation Bible school there. I graduated from Reamer High School in 1968. When the counselor asked me what I wanted to do, I thought, I didn't have any thought. And the only thing I really knew that I liked to do was bake, so I ended up going to baking school in Duluth for 9 months. And then I got a job in a bakery in Bemidji. And that lasted 3 months and the bakery closed. And I moved home and I thought, I don't want to really do that. So visiting with one of my cousins, she said she was enlisting in the Air Force and she thought maybe that would be something I would like to think about. And I did. And I did enter the Air Force in November 1969. I took my basic and technical training in Texas, and I tested out to be a medical services specialist. My first duty station was March Air Force Base in Riverside, California. That was very nice. It was kind of weird at Christmas, but and the other thing is that my mom's sister lived like 20 miles away, so I never really got to see her a lot. I think I saw her once before that. And for my overseas duty, I put down England and I got Anchorage, Alaska. Don't ask me. But it was really strange, I worked in an OBGYN and that was all new to me. But anyway, the nice thing about being there was my dad's sister lived in Anchorage, so I got to visit with her. So I got out in November of 1973, and I knew that I wanted to go to school to become an LPN. And I took the test, and I was accepted into the program to start the following September. And within the first several months I got out, I met the man I was going to marry. He was going to school for law enforcement. The following September, I started nursing school, and he went in the Army in November of that year, and we were married the end of December. So he went back to his duty station in Washington State, and I finished school in July. And I eventually joined him, and we weren't there maybe several months, and he got orders for Germany. So I came back home and worked for a while. And then I eventually did join him there, and we were probably there a year and a half, and I came back early. And he came home maybe a couple months later. And his next duty station was Brooklyn, New York. And I found out, after he got his orders, I found out that I was pregnant. We went to New York, and I wasn't there probably not very many months, and I had to come back early. He was discharged in November, and our son was born in November. After this, he got a job in a small town just this side of Moorhead. It was called Dilworth, working for the police department. I got a job at the nursing home, a nursing home in Moorhead. And we were there probably, I don't think we were there maybe more than 3 years. And he applied and got a job for the Itasca County Sheriff's Department. And we eventually settled in Deer River, and I got a job at the nursing home there. So, and in June of 1984, he came to me and told me he didn't love me anymore. And that he wanted a divorce. And I tried to talk him into going to counseling, and he didn't want to do that. And I found out that there was somebody else. Well, I wasn't a Christian, and I didn't know how to handle this. And I was very concerned of how I was going to take care of our son. You know, it was all new to me. I know how to take care of myself. I didn't know how to take care of him. And eventually, I moved out of the house, and we found a place to rent in Deer River. And we were there for a few months, and I found an apartment in Grand Rapids. And I was looking for a babysitter for my son, and I talked to this housekeeper at the nursing home, and she said that she might know someone, so she recommended this lady, and I went and visited her, and she said yes, she would watch him. And so I kind of did some wild stuff I never did before. But in the spring, my brother and his wife lived in Little Fork, and they asked me to go to church with them on a Sunday. They were going to a church in International Falls, and I'm telling you, what an experience. It was, they were doing this worship music, and they were raising their hands, and they were clapping. And I just thought, okay. So I didn't really thought it too, you know, didn't think too much of it, and went back home. And I decided I would go back. The end of May, I went back, and they had helped start a little church in Little Fork. So they had a special speaker there, and my heart was right. That's when I accepted the Lord. And I can tell you the weight lifted right off me. And I just felt the peace and love of God all over me. And I didn't have to worry about how he's going to take care of my son. He took care of us. And we moved several times. I did move to Little Fork, and I went up there and worked at the hospital, lost my job up there. And then I was on unemployment, but I got another job in Walker. And I moved to Reamer. And I'm just not going to go into all the moves, all the moves I made. But I left that job after a year, and I went back to the nursing home in Deer River, and I eventually moved over close to Deer River. Well, that house sold, so I moved in with my parents, and I wasn't even thinking about, you know, a house or anything else at that time. But my son was going to Christian school. And he, unbeknownst to me, he was praying for a place for us to live. And it just happened to be, there was an older lady that was there that volunteered. And she wanted to sell her house. and she was going to move into an apartment. Well, her son was married to my aunt, so it got back to me, and I thought, I don't know if I want anything with, I don't know if I want that responsibility. But my mom and I went and looked at the house, and she said, well, I'll help you fix it up. And I thought, okay. And so we went to, my dad and I, and this lady and her son went to the lawyer. We got a contract for deed. She asked me, she said, how much can you afford a month? And I told her. And then the lawyer figured it out. It was $5 over that amount. So and I can say that God took care of us. I didn't have to worry anymore, and he supplied every need we had. I had very little money before payday, but I knew that God supplied me with a roof over my head. I had clothes to wear, food to eat. We had, I had a good job, and I had, my car was running well, but even if when things did come up, and yes, I did worry about some things, but he was always there for us. In the spring of 1996, my mom got sick, and they were treating her with antibiotics and, some other things, and she really never got better. So my dad had woke up one night, and she wasn't breathing right, and he took her to the clinic. Well, they admitted her to the hospital because her breathing was, not good. They tried her on a stronger antibiotic, and that didn't seem to help. But so I had a nurse friend of mine that worked at the hospital. And she said, if I was your family, I would go talk to the doctor and have her sent to Duluth. Can you get me my water? I'm getting dry. So she sent her to Duluth. Excuse me. They sent her to Duluth, and they did a biopsy of her lung, and we were told that she had a rare lung disease, and she had a 85% chance of making it. And she was on a ventilator. She was in medical intensive care. And they did wean her off. They got her weaned off, but she took a turn for the worse, and she was back on her ventilator, and there was nothing they could do. She passed away on July 1st, and it was like she was a glue. She was a glue for our family, but I know God saw me through that, too. I mean, it was hard. But my son graduated the next year, and then in the year 2000, I decided I was going to sell my house, and I moved in with my dad, and I lived with him for 10 years. And we used to like to take... We took trips out to Colorado every couple of years to visit his sister and some uncles and my uncles. And he always liked to take the scenic route. And I actually enjoyed that, I mean, he really didn't like driving on the freeways. And if there was any driving to be on the freeways, it was me. But we had a lot of fun, and we stopped at, different sites, and, we just took our time, and, and we had enjoyed it. And in that 10 years, my son got married, and I had two grandchildren born. And so in the spring of 2010, my dad decided he wanted to sell his house. And he said he just couldn't handle it. He lived on a farm. Not that he had, he just basically was, getting wood and doing things like that. It was no big farming job, but it was just a lot to take care of. And so my older brother and his wife bought the place. And though my dad had different ideas about where he was going to live, we managed to talk him into buying. He got a single wide trailer and it put on the property so that he could actually enjoy his time there. In December, In December of that year, we found out a good friend of ours was in the intensive care unit in Duluth, and I asked Dad if he would want to go, would want to go visit her, and he said he would. And we met in Grand Rapids, and I drove down. We went to see her, and she really wasn't, you know, able to speak or anything. So this was a week before Christmas, so it was really busy in Duluth. We were looking for a place to eat, and there was really anything downtown that we really, you know, wanted to go to. And so he suggested we go to town. He knew of a place, and at that intersection, we were involved in a bad accident. My dad's car, it was the car hit him on the passenger side, and he wasn't responding, and the ambulance came, and I rode in the front of the ambulance, and being a nurse, I didn't sound good. So when we got to the emergency room, there was a chaplain waiting for me and took me into a room, and I had already called one of my brothers, and we were there, and my family came. The doctor came and said that there was nothing they could do. They tried everything. So I went into a really deep, dark place. I didn't really want to drive again, and I really didn't want to be around people. But I knew I had to. I had to work. I was able to use my dad's car until I could get a vehicle, and I just kind of went out. I didn't know. I was in such shock, and just didn't know how to handle it. I even had some bad thoughts, but I didn't really follow. I didn't follow through with them. But anyway, I just struggled for a long time with that. And in November of that year, I left the church I was going to, and I didn't go back to another church till the following June. And I went to this church, and it was a nice church, but I didn't feel like I belonged there. But it wasn't the church, it was me, because I just couldn't, you know, think about, you know, I had such guilt over this whole accident. And a year and a half after I went in this accident, I went to a counselor, and she may have helped me maybe a little bit, but I can remember the day I woke up, and I knew that the Lord had lifted that guilt off of me. And I felt free. I mean, I still struggled with things, but I felt free. And I did kind of like, I did church hop for a while, and I just couldn't get settled down, but I finally did. And to another, I did get into another church eventually. But God is with me. That's the song I chose. God is with me. He has been with me. He's been with me through everything. And sometimes when I didn't even feel like it, and I really was, I was angry about a lot of this stuff, about this accident. I was angry at myself. I was angry at God. I was angry at, those were just angry at people. But God helped me. That's all I have to say.